In verse 7, the Lord said to Nicodemus, "Marvel not, don't be surprised, don't be amazed by this statement when I say to you, you must be born again." In verse 3, the Lord prefaces what He says with a verily, verily. He says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then He says in verse 5, once again, "Verily, verily." Now when the Lord says this, He's giving us some idea of the importance and the weight and the solemnity of what He's saying. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again." Now look in verse 1 of John chapter 3. "There was a man of the Pharisees." And the chapter division here is actually not that great. Now, you've got to have them somewhere. But look in verse 24 of chapter 2. "But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them, because He knew all men, and He needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man." Well, what was in man? Nothing but sin. That's it. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. He knew what was in man, and there was a man of the Pharisees. And this man, there was nothing but sin. He was a man of the Pharisees. The word Pharisee means a separated one. He practiced human religion, the religion we all have by nature. That religion that makes us believe that there's something that we do that separates us from other men. A man of the Pharisees. The example is the Pharisee in the temple. Remember, the Pharisee went into the temple and stood and prayed thus with himself, "Lord, I thank Thee." He gave God the credit. This man was a Calvinist. He gave God the credit. "I thank Thee that I'm not as other men." And he went on to talk about the things that he did and did not do. He thought what he did, although he was giving God the praise, he said, "I'm thanking you." He thought what he did or did not do is what separated him from everybody else. "I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are. I fast, I pray, I tithe. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not like this publican." That's human religion. Thinking there's something that you do that separates you from others. And his name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin. This man was a nothing, as all men are, who thought himself to be something. He was a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2, "The same came to Jesus by night." Now, why did he come by night? Well, I dare say all of us knows that has something to do with the fact that he was ashamed to be identified with Christ. He was embarrassed. He didn't want any of his buddies to know he was coming to Christ. So he picked out a time at night to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it really means more than that. This man was coming to Christ in the night, in the absolute dark. He had no spiritual light. He was blind as a bat. He was in the dark. He came to Jesus by night with no spiritual understanding. And what did he say? "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him." Rabbi, teacher. Now, he came to Christ the wrong way. You see, if I come to Christ simply to get the right information, I need to be taught. And I do need to be taught. I'm not taking away from that. But I don't come to Christ as a teacher needing the right information. If I come to Christ, I come to Him because I need a Savior. Not so much a teacher, but a Savior. I need to be saved from my sins. I need somebody to deliver me. If I just come to get the right information, I show that I had the wrong attitude about myself. He came to him to be taught. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. And the evidence points to it. Nobody can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. He knew about the Lord changing the water into wine. He knew this was no mere man. He said, we know. I guess he had a high opinion of Christ, so he thought. Rabbi, we know that God sent you. Nobody can do these things you're doing except God be with him. The evidence points to it. He had the same faith that those fellows had in verse 23 of chapter 2. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. They were convinced. The evidence points to it. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, and he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now look at the way our Lord answered him. Nicodemus comes, I think, with flattery, and I think he was sincere. He was impressed with the Lord. He knew there was something special about it. He didn't know what it was, but he comes at night in darkness, and look what the Lord says to him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I love how abrupt our Lord's answer is to his flattery. Now, notice the word see in verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That word see is the same word that's translated in verse 2. We know that thou art the teacher come from God. Now, Nicodemus says, we know this. And what our Lord says is, Nicodemus, you know nothing. You know nothing. You're coming to me in darkness and ignorance. Except you're born from above, you cannot know anything. You're unable to know. You're unable to understand. You're unable to see. You're unable to perceive the kingdom of God. The only way a man can know anything, true knowledge, I'm talking about saving knowledge. I'm not just talking about having some great data. I'm talking about a saving knowledge. The only way a man can know anything is if he is birthed from above, if he is born again. Now, what the Lord is teaching is what is known as total depravity. That's what he's teaching this man. Except you're born from above, your state is such, your nature is such, your case is such, that you can't know anything. You think you know something, but you know nothing. You're totally depraved. You must be birthed. You must be given life from above because you're dead in sins. You must be given life. You must be birthed. You must be born again. Total depravity. Now, what is meant by total depravity? Well, we all know it has something to do with human sinfulness. But what it means is the totality of man was destroyed in the fall. The totality of man. Every faculty is controlled by sin. The mind, the understanding, the affections, the will. It was all destroyed in the fall. Now, when I'm talking about total depravity, I'm not necessarily talking about every man being a murderer or a molester or something like that, although all of us are capable of that. Now understand, if the Lord took his restraints off you and I, every one of us would be absolute monsters. There's no question in my mind about that. All God's got to do is take away the restraints and you'll find out how bad you really are. None of us have any idea how bad we really are. But when we're talking about total depravity, it's not so much referring to the fact of what we could be apart from the restraints of God's grace. It's just saying the totality of man, every faculty of man, is fallen so that he is unable to understand. He's unable to see. He's unable to perceive the things of the kingdom of God, the things of the gospel. He's totally depraved. He's dead in sins. No part works. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn to Romans 3. I refer to this scripture very often, and it's a very important scripture. Verse 10. As it's written, Romans 3, verse 10, as it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. Now, do you hear that? You can't even understand. I can't even understand the things of the kingdom of God. I don't have the ability to understand them. I must be birthed from above. That's the only way I can understand, is if God gives me that understanding. I can't figure it out. I'm totally dependent upon Him to do something for me. There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. There's not one. There's never been a man left to himself that ever sought the living God. Oh, he might have been religious. He might have sought his conception of God. But I'm talking about the true and living God. Not one man has ever even as much as sought the Lord. There's none that understands. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Now that is why, if I'm to know or understand the things of God, if I'm to understand the kingdom of God, I must be birthed from above, given life by God. Now listen to what I'm getting ready to say real carefully. This is very important. The new birth, being born again, it's not a change. It's not a reformation. It's not the removal of something. It's putting something there that was not there before. That's what the new birth is. It's not being changed. You can change all you want, but it's not going to change your heart. You can clean up the outside, but it's not going to do anything about the inside. The new birth is God placing something in you that was not there before. A new nature, a divine nature. God said, a new heart will I give you. Now, when I was born the first time, I received my parents' nature. And they received their parents' nature. And on. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. When I was born the first time, I got the nature of Charles Nybert. He got the nature of Charles Nybert before him. And I don't know what my great-great-grandfather said, but it goes just like that. But when we're born from above, when we're born again, we're given our father's nature, our new father. Let me show you this. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to look at this verse with me. Partakers of the divine nature is what I'm referring to. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. There it is. Actually, if I'm born from above, remember, that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Not spiritual. I've heard people say, well, I'm a spiritual person. You missed it. It's not becoming spiritual and thinking more. It's being born of the Spirit, being given a new nature, a holy nature, partakers of the divine nature. Now, like can only produce like. Look back in our text in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. When someone's born by the Spirit, they're given a new nature, and that new nature is what understands. Nicodemus, you must be born again before you can know anything. You talk about what you know, but in reality, you know nothing. You know absolutely nothing. You must be born from above to have any true spiritual understanding. It's the new birth that sees the kingdom of God. For me to see the kingdom of God, I must be given life from the dead. Now, I was thinking about this. You know, a natural man can understand religion. I can understand Arminianism. I understand the logic of it. I can understand Calvinism. I understand the logic of it. A natural man can understand religion. But a natural man can't understand grace. That's above his ability. A natural man can't really have any understanding of the gospel. That is above his ability. Nicodemus, you must be born again, birthed from above. Education is not going to do it. You can be given all the right information and that won't do you a bit of good unless God gives you life. Reformation won't do it. You can reform all you want and that won't do you a bit of good. Nicodemus, you must be birthed from above. You must be born again. Now, birth. You know, there was a time when there was no Todd Nyberg. Now, I'm not aware of that time. All I know is the time I've been around, but there was a time when nobody knew who I was. I was not even thought of, as a matter of fact. I didn't exist. But I was conceived. I was birthed. Life came to be that was not there before. Nicodemus, unless you're birthed from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what's he talking about when he talks about the kingdom of God? He says, Nicodemus, you have no understanding what I'm talking about. You must be birthed to see the kingdom of God. Well, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Here's what the kingdom of God is all about. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. And he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what are the next three words? And his righteousness. Now this is what the kingdom of God is all about. His righteousness. If you want to understand the key to the kingdom of God, here it is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and whose righteousness? His righteousness. I know exactly what that means. The kingdom of God, Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, is not meat and drink. It's not do's and don'ts. It's not man-made regulations. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness. Whose righteousness? That peace that comes from simply trusting you. And joy, the joy that comes from that. The kingdom of God is about His righteousness. And I know so much what Paul meant when he said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's what the kingdom of God is about. And you know, until you're given spiritual light and life, and that light you have comes from life. When you have life, you'll have light. When you have true light, you'll have life. When someone is given this life that comes from this new nature, this holy nature, what has happened to that person is all of a sudden they understand their need of a righteousness better than they can produce. And they ask to have Christ's righteousness charged to them. And they ask to have this new holy nature. They know they can't come up with the faith. They can't come up with the repentance. They can't come up with anything. We ask Christ for all of these things. That's what happens when somebody's born from above. They're given this new nature. Now, Nicodemus didn't know what he's talking about. Look in verse 4. Now, the Lord had said, Nicodemus, except a man be born from above, born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, well, how can a man be born when he's old? How do you get to be birthed again? How do you get to be born again? And I don't think he was being a smart aleck when he asked this. I think he just didn't understand. He didn't know what the Lord was talking about. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus was still in the dark. And so look how the Lord answers. Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, birthed of water and of the Spirit, he lacks the ability to enter the kingdom of God. Now here, in verse 3, the Lord was talking about total depravity. Except a man be born again, he can't see, he can't understand, you lack the ability. You just don't have what it takes. But here, there's another emphasis, and it's part of human sinfulness. He's showing Nicodemus' condition. He says, except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you lack the ability to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now here he's talking about total inability. You lack the ability to enter the kingdom of heaven. Look at John chapter 6, verse 44. Look what our Lord says. He doesn't say, no man may come to me. You know, you may. The Lord's not going to keep you from it. If you want to come to Christ, He's not going to say no. He doesn't say no man may come. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. He doesn't say you're going to be forbidden to come. He doesn't say no man may come. He says no man what? Can come. He lacks the ability. He lacks the power to come. And that's why he must be birthed from above. He's completely unable to enter the kingdom of heaven. He must be birthed, born of water and of the Spirit. Until I'm born of water and of the Spirit, I lack the ability to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what in the world does that mean? To be born of water and of the Spirit. You know, there's a lot of folks that take this passage of Scripture and say, well, this shows that you have to be baptized in order to be regenerated or born again. You need to go under the water, and when you come back up, you're born again. Now, that's foolishness. You know that. Will dumping down in the water make you have new life? Of course not. Water is used figuratively. It's an emblem. It's a figure. It's a type. It's a metaphor. Let me show you this in the Scripture. In John chapter 4, just a couple of verses here in John, and this will demonstrate this. Look in verse 14 in John chapter 4. The Lord says to the woman at the well, but whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Now, is the Lord talking about H2O there? Literal water? Well, of course he's not. He's talking about spiritual water. Look in John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, is he talking about physical thirst and drinking H2O? Of course he's not. He that believeth on me, verse 38, as the Scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So he's not talking about literal water. He's talking about spiritual water. So water refers to the Word of God. It's a metaphor the Scripture uses that always refers to the Word of God. For instance, Ephesians 5:26, we read of the washing of water by the Word. James 1:18 says, of His own will begat He us through the Word of truth. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We will not be birthed without the Word of God, without the gospel message, without the message of the Scriptures. Now, here's what happens. God takes His Word. There's no faith without hearing, is there? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I can't believe what I never hear. God takes His Word, the gospel message, and with the Spirit, born of water and of the Spirit. He takes the Spirit of God and causes it to live. He creates life. That's the new birth. The water and the Spirit. You will not be born above without the Word of God, without the gospel. But you will not be born without the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and produces life. Look in John 1. Verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. Here's this, we're introduced to this concept of being born or birthed, which were born. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. You know, there's never been a bigger lie told than the thought of free will. It's ridiculous. It's not in the Scriptures. No, there's no such thing as free will. Your will is controlled by your nature. Now, you do what you want to, but the problem is with your want to, what you want to do by nature. And there's no such thing as free will. We are not born of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God, born of the Spirit. Turn to John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, that gives life. The flesh profits what? Nothing. How much does your flesh have to do with being born again? Not a thing. It's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Now look what he says next. The words that I speak to you. The Word of God, the Word of the Gospel. They are spirit and they are life. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, there's somebody that has no idea what I'm talking about. You listen, it doesn't make any sense to me. Well, there's a reason. You haven't been born from above. If you're born from above, you'll know what I'm talking about. It really is that simple. It takes spiritual life to understand. Well, what am I supposed to do? Well, cry for mercy. Ask God to do something for you. Ask Him to give you a new heart. Back to our text, John chapter 3. Verse 6. The Lord says to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It can't rise above its nature. It can't. All it's going to be, whatever begins with you is going to end with you, nothing but flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And marvel not, verse 7. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Don't marvel at this. You shouldn't be surprised. You see, our Lord is saying, this is no new doctrine. Doesn't the Scripture teach in the Old Testament, for Ezekiel, for example, Ezekiel 36, God said, a new heart also will I give you. This has always been the teaching of Scripture. Don't be surprised by this, Nicodemus. Don't be amazed by this. Really, it's the only thing that makes sense. If you're dead, you must be given life. Isn't that so? If you're dead, you must be given life. And only God can do that. It takes spiritual life to perform the functions of spiritual life. You have to have life before you can breathe, don't you? You have to have life before you can smell. Take spiritual life. Marvel not at this. And here's an example of what I'm trying to talk about. Let's say you get the best art teacher in the world to teach a person how to produce beautiful paintings that was not born with that gift. How are they going to do? No matter how good the education is, that person is still not going to be a gifted artist unless they're born with that gift. Same way with music. You can teach somebody to play the notes, but they're not going to be a genius musically unless they're born with that gift. There's a gift you're born with. Well, this is the same. You can't understand unless you're birthed into the kingdom of heaven. So he says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And then he says in verse 8, the wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Now, regarding this thing of being born, I want you to think about this. How much did you have to do with your first birth? You didn't have a thing to do with it, did you? Not a thing. Do you know it's the exact same way in the second birth? This is the work of the sovereign God giving you life. You didn't cooperate in this thing. It's not something you did. You didn't do anything to become born. You were birthed. You were given life by an act, by a miracle of God. Same way in the new birth. This is a miracle of God. And He uses the wind to illustrate this. The wind blows where it wills. He uses the wind to illustrate the birth. That, you think of wind. Wind can blow so softly. And it can be so pleasant, it can be so enjoyable, or it can be like Katrina, be a hurricane and just blow everything in its path away. The wind can have devastating effects. Now, two things are pointed out about the new birth and the wind here. When our Lord says, the wind blows where it wills, you hear the sound thereof and you cannot tell whence it comes or whither it goes. Even so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. First thing that I see in this passage of Scripture is the wind is sovereign. It blows where it wills. And you can't control it, can you? Can you change the direction of the wind? Of course you can't. You can't be controlled. It can't be regulated. It blows where it wills. And God is absolutely sovereign in giving the new birth. He gives it to whoever he's pleased to give it to. He doeth, Daniel said, according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, us down here, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Give an account for your actions. We can't do that. God does what he wants to do. God is absolutely sovereign, and he gives the new birth to whoever he is pleased to give it to. I say again, the notion of free will is a lie. There's no truth to it. Which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Romans 9:16 says it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The new birth is the sovereign gift of God. He gives it to whomsoever he's pleased to give it to. And I know who he's pleased to give it to. He's pleased to give it to the elect. He's pleased to give it to those for whom Christ died. That's who he gives the new birth to. Everybody Christ died for. God's going to give them life. He's going to give them grace to look to him. He's going to give them a heart that believes, that repents, that loves him. It's the sovereign gift of God. And also know this about the new birth. It's mysterious. You can't tell whence it comes or where it's going. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Just like everything else in the Bible is. It's a mystery that we wouldn't know anything about unless God was pleased to make it known. It's a mystery. Do I understand all this? Of course not. Do I believe it? Every bit of it. Every bit of it. And what do I say to all this? I must be born again. There's nothing I can do to make myself born again. There's nothing I can do. I can't believe. I can't repent. I can't do any of this unless God gives me a heart to do it. Well, what do I do then? Give me some direction. Well, if I were you, and this is what I'm going to do right now, I'd do exactly what that leper did. He came to the Lord and worshiped. And he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. It's up to you. But Lord, if you will. He didn't just say, well, nothing I can do, therefore I'll just not worry about it. No. He came and fell before his feet and worshiped. What's the evidence of the new birth? I want to close with this thought. What's the evidence of the new birth? Well, what's the evidence of life? Well, your heart beats and you breathe. That's the two things you look for. What's the evidence of spiritual life? Faith and repentance. It's always accompanied with the new birth. Now, you don't believe and repent and become born. You're birthed, you're given life, and the evidence of it is you believe and you repent. Well, which comes first, life or faith? Now, this is amazing. Logically, life's got to come before faith, doesn't it? Logically, life must come first. You can't believe until you're given life, but chronologically, as they actually happen, they come at the exact same time. Do I understand that? No. Do I believe it? Yes. Yes. Now let's close by looking at John chapter 1. And this is how you can know if you've been born again. Have I been born again? Have I been given this spiritual life that we're reading of? Has God birthed me? Well, look what verse 12 says. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him. Now, when God saves somebody, you know what they do? They receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They receive him. Well, what's it mean to receive him? Go on reading. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What's it mean to receive Christ? Well, I can tell you exactly what it means. It means to believe on his name. It means to rely upon his name as your only grounds of acceptance before God. You plead nothing but him. You know when we pray in his name? You know, it's not an abracadabra. I'm asking these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not some kind of magic formula. What I'm saying is,
hear this prayer as Christ has presented it. Not in my name, but I come in His name. I rely on His name. His name. I'm
going to enter heaven on the coattails of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no other way of coming. Now that's what it is to believe on His name. Well, what about these people who believe on His name? It says in verse 13, they were born. They were birthed. The only people who believe on His name are people who were birthed. Not of blood, not because their mom and dad were Christians, not of the will of the flesh, not because a bunch of people got together and started praying for them, not of the will of man. It didn't come as an act of their own free will. They were born of God. That's the person who's born of God. The person who believes the gospel. Let's pray.